Well, good morning, and thank you to the elders for this opportunity to speak today. I've spent the last 10 minutes fretting about how I was going to get up here without tripping, so thank you, Greg. Yeah. Not sure he heard that. Thank you, Greg. Yeah, I made it. Well, our passage for this morning is a very, very familiar one from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." Well, yesterday marked the 5th anniversary of my baptism. And if you'll indulge me for just a moment, I want to open up our time together with the very same prayer that I prayed 5 years ago before I got into that extremely refreshing pond back at near our home church in Virginia. Let's pray. Lord, may my family and everyone who has encouraged me in my faith feel the same overwhelming joy that I do now, knowing that I have been saved. Above all, Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me and my sins. When I was rock bottom, sick and in despair, Jesus granted me new life with him in eternity. Heavenly Father, let me walk now as a new man in Christ. Amen. Thank you. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about what it means to be born again, or at least what is meant to me. I told Heather earlier that I was nervous taking on such a big topic, and I'm just going to scratch the surface today. But it's something that I've been wrestling with and thinking about a lot recently. What does it mean to be born again? Praise God, I know that most here today would consider themselves born again. So hopefully what I have to say can just be a reminder of God's amazing grace. And for those here this morning that have not been born again, let today be the day of salvation. Well, I don't think Nicodemus is the only person in the last 2,000 years to be confused by the meaning of born again. One of the guys at our men's Bible study, Diego might remember this, told me he initially thought a born-again Christian was a Barnegat Christian, as in the small town south of here on the Jersey Shore. Any Barnegat Christians out here today? No Barnegat Christians. And of course, I remember growing up in the South thinking that born again was a type of Christian. Like you were either a regular Christian or a regular Christian or a born again Christian. And I was perfectly happy to be a regular one. Thank you just the same. Do you remember that old bumper sticker? Born right the first time. Yes, that was me. For the longest time, that was me, born right the first time. Well, I was born again not long before I was baptized 5 years ago. And baptism is just that visual, the visible demonstration of that internal reality. So everything feels so fresh to me. Feels like just yesterday sometimes. Sometimes I can barely remember what I did last week. But for some reason, I'm able to remember just about every detail of that day that I was baptized. 5 years ago, Sunday, July 11th, 2010, right in the middle of a brutally hot summer, but the humidity had just totally lifted that day. Joe and Carol, Heather, and Jack and Lily all sat up on the hill under a tree watching about two dozen 9 to 12-year-olds stand up to the mic, give their testimonies, and step down into that spring-fed pond to be baptized. And I remember sitting there, up there in tears, wishing that that was me being baptized as a 9-year-old, not 27 years of living apart from God later. Seeing them baptized by their own fathers, knowing that my dad, my own dad, wasn't there at the service. Wondering how I was going to compose myself enough to give my own testimony. But then we started to sing that wonderful song. And I've got some helpers here. Help me, Joey. Help me, Diego. How marvelous. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Everyone, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Heavenly Father, let me walk now as a new man in Christ. Well, who here remembers the day that you were baptized? What about the day that you were born again? Jesus told Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Church, this is not a type of Christian. This is what it means to be a Christian, born again. Consider 1 John 5:1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Believe that Jesus is the Christ. Receive the free gift of God's grace. That's it. It's that simple. Born again. How about Romans 6:4? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. This is not some sort of course correction. This is not a minor adjustment. This is not some small tweak. Anyone a golfer here? No golfers. Well, this is not some brand new club in your bag if you were a golfer. This is not a new swing thought or some extra waggle before you hit the ball. Born again. I love Colossians 3:9-10. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. This is radical change. New birth. New man. Born again. Heavenly Father, let us walk now as new men in Christ. Well, every once in a while, when I'm feeling pretty good about myself, or I've done something particularly nice I'll ask Heather. Heather, do you see the difference in me now compared to when I was born again? Heather, I feel so different now. Isn't it amazing how different I am? And I think part of me wants her to say back to me, why, yes, Brooks, you before were a horrible monster, but now you are great, really great, perfect. What a difference. So what is the difference? Well, I haven't asked Heather recently, but I remember. But I think there are four radical changes in my new life as a Christian. One, my dreams are so much bigger now. Two, my sins seem so much larger. And this one needs some more explanation. I'll give it to you. My hope no longer disappoints. Four, my life is now not my own. So first, my dreams are so much bigger now. And Heather sometimes calls them intentions, which is probably how well I lived them out. How true is Romans 7:19? For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. I look back at some of my dreams growing up that just seemed so small at the time to me, but so big and even slightly ridiculous now. When I was 12, I was going to be the next John McEnroe. And I even had the temper. Not much of a tennis game, but I definitely had the temper. When I was 16, I was dead set on going to an Ivy League school. And I used to wear this Princeton t-shirt every day, like I was already the big man on campus. And man, did I wear that shirt out. By the time I tossed that shirt out, it was one big hole. Heather knows how my t-shirts sometimes get holes. And oh yeah, I wanted to climb Mount Everest, where Jerry was recently. Probably wearing my Yale sweatshirt up there on the top. Yeah, or my Harvard t-shirt right there on the top. These dreams seemed so small to me at the time, but looking back, so big now. Then in my early 30s, it all changed. I look back at my aspirations that seemed so big at that time, but so small now. Here's one. Monday. Make it to Friday. No pink slip. Weekend. Survive the next 2 hours with small baby. Until Heather gets back. I can do this. Seemed so big at the time, but just so small looking back. Can I tell you my goals now? Turn to Philippians 3:10, and let me just read them off. Philippians 3:10. Philippians 3:10, my goals. Starting with verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. To know him and the power of his resurrection, to be conformed to him and his death, to live in his presence for eternity. Talk to me in 10 years. Remind me of this day. I promise you, these are not small dreams now, and they will never be small dreams. Big now, big then, big for eternity. And because God loved me enough to send his own son to die in my place while I was still a sinner, here are some things that I want to do in the time that I have left on this earth. I want to love my wife as Jesus loves the church. I want to love her like she deserves to be loved. I want to work heartily every day as to the Lord so that I can share with anyone in need. If you know of a need, please tell me. I want to know about it. I want to be salt and light in this sin-racked world. I want to do all for the glory of God. I want to serve you, Lord Jesus. Tell me, Lord, how I can serve you today. Then when I appear before the judgment seat of Christ, I want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done." Do you hear the new purpose in the new man? Big now, big then, big for eternity. Big now, big then, big for eternity. C.S. Lewis famously wrote, "Aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you get neither." Has anyone here been aiming down at earth for too long? Know him and the power of his resurrection. Amen. My dreams are so much bigger. My sins seem so much larger now. And this is a tough one to explain, so let me see if I can give it justice. I remember I was asking my mom, not you, Mom, about this one. And you know her first reaction? Bondage. Brooks, this sounds like bondage. No, Mom, as the song says, my chains are gone. I've been set free. We won't sing that one. Carol, Mom, would rightly ask, what sin did Jesus not die for? He died for all my sins, past, present, future. Well, he's not my mother, nor my mother-in-law. But Mike DeLeon, if he were, might have pointed me to Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Or maybe Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I love those two verses. Keep reminding them of us. And yet my sins seem larger now. Well, in the old man, can I just be honest? I wasn't even aware. I had no clue. I knew not what I was doing. I could take the wind right out of Heather's sails with one cutting remark without even knowing what I had done. No self-awareness. She's nodding her head. And even if I knew what I was doing, what was so wrong about it? Who was I accountable to anyway? Sin! What sin? About 7 or 8 years ago, my best friend's father passed away after a long battle with cancer. I met Tim my freshman year in college, and there was just an instant bond. I love what C.S. Lewis says about friendship in his book, The Four Loves. Quote, "Friendship is born at that moment when one man says to another, 'What? You too? I thought that I was the only one. ... This is my friendship with Tim.' But in that long battle, I never sent Tim a card. I never extended a helping hand. I never even acknowledged his grief and loss. But shortly after I was born again, the Holy Spirit gave me an awareness that could only have come from God himself. Not nagging or shaming, not guilting, didn't beat me up over it, but just a gentle invitation to send that letter to Tim that I'd never sent before. Tim, I am aware now of how I failed you in your great time of need. Will you accept my apology and forgive me as your dear friend? God did not save us to sit and stew in our sin. In his mercy, he has given us a new awareness. And as it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Anyone here have unconfessed sins this morning? God is faithful to forgive and restore. He is faithful. Well, my dreams are so much bigger. My sins seem so much larger now. Three, my hope no longer disappoints. When I think of the old man, before I was born again, I think of all the things that I trusted in, hoping to be fulfilled. And let me just list a few of the milder ones. Professional recognition, wine, wealth, our farm in Virginia, sugary foods, I'm a diabetic, the Redskins, yes, even the lowly Redskins I had trusted hope in. When we place our trust and hope in these worldly things, in the place of God, they always disappoint. John makes it very clear in his first epistle, 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Well, if you're there in 1 John, I just love the way John concludes this first epistle. Sometimes I read 1 John, and I think, this is the most profound, practical, insightful, far-reaching, truth-telling, logical, convicting, and wonderful thing ever written. And he wraps it up all by saying, dear children, keep yourself from idols. Amen. Well, is it really all that simple? Like a kid might bless a meal. God is neat. Let's eat. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. And the answer is yes and no. Simple in the thinking, difficult in the doing. I love in our passage for today, in John, when Nicodemus asked Jesus, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, the answer is no. You do not enter a second time into your mother's womb to be born again. But hear me on this one. Hear me. The time since my rebirth of the Spirit has often felt so painful. It's almost like I've physically gone down that birth canal again. I remember coming out of the water 5 years ago today and feeling just about 1,000 pounds lighter. Just the burden, the weight off my shoulders was released. I felt such a spring in my step. And I was thinking, easy street, smooth sailing. But that is when God really got to work on me, chiseling, carving away all the things that I placed my hope in apart from him. And one by one, I can hardly talk about it. I remember telling Heather, I know that I've placed my trust in Christ. I know it. But it's like I keep hedging my bets. One leg in, one leg out, holding on to the old man, God, plus everything else I had before. Well, one by one, He's been pruning and paring away and plucking out and peeling back all the layers that separated me from him for so long. Has anyone felt that pruning? Has anyone felt that paring and plucking and peeling recently? It's painful. With a capital P, yes, but worth every trial. Listen to Romans 1 through 5. Turn there to Romans 1 through 5. Therefore, verse 5, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Have you placed your hope in Christ and Christ alone today? He does not disappoint. Our hope does not disappoint. Well, my dreams are so much bigger. My sins seem so much larger now. Three, my hope no longer disappoints. Four, my life is now not my own. And this one has been particularly tough for me. Those who know me well know that there are parts of me, small parts of me, tiny parts, that like to take control and be in control. Before I was born again, I had a short-term plan, a long-term plan, plan A, plan B, plan C, 5-year plan, 10-year plan, 15-year plan. And I think for at least some brief period, Heather liked that I had all these plans. She liked the man with the plan. Even Proverbs 21 says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, and I sure thought that I had plenty before I was born again. Well, what happens when God's plans are not your plans? Remember Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. This just seems so obvious to me now. It seems so obvious. I just can hardly believe I ever thought otherwise. But if there is anyone here today that is thinking what I used to think, that you are in control and God is up there to make way for your plans, please let today be the day that you let loose of those reins that you've been holding on so tightly to. God is in control. And like I did for so long, you can fight it and deny it. You can shake your fist at it, curse it. You can try to outmaneuver it. You can try to cross-examine it. Or you can turn it over. Turn it over to the one who created you, who loves you as his child, who wants the very best for you and has prepared a place for you in eternity in his presence. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. I love Max Lucado's way with words. I think Mom gave me this book shortly before I was born again. I love his way with words. He writes, it would be nice if God let us order life like we order a meal. I'll take good health and a high IQ, please. would have been nice, but it didn't happen. When it came to your life on earth, you weren't given a voice or a vote. But when it comes to life after death, you were. Have you been given any greater privilege than that of choice? You've made some bad choices in life, haven't you? You say, if only I could make up for those bad choices, you can. One good choice for eternity offsets 1,000 bad ones on earth. The choice is yours. When closing, join me as I read from Galatians 2:20. And this was going to be my memory verse, but I may have forgotten a couple pieces, so I've got some notes. Galatians 2:20. I, starting with verse 20, I, Brooks, have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you indeed have given each one of us a choice and the opportunity to be born again, a new man, your child, being conformed to the resurrection of your Son. Lord, let us aim after heaven today. Grant us awareness this morning of our sins so that we can turn from them and confess them to you. Thank you. Thank you that our hope no longer disappoints and that, Lord, our lives are now no longer our own. Thank you that we are born again. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.